this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at your boy, you try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard, on this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some?
Welcome to the Justified Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Justified on FX. I'm Jim.
Oh, I'm Aaron.
With a large-ass glass of moonshine this time.
This is the appropriately sized glass
for an episode this
badass.
Okay. I was going to say for destroying the end of a podcast, yes.
And my liver. Don't forget my liver.
That too.
Be carrying around that thing in a bucket after this run of Justified has wrecked me.
Yeah, you will. You'd be like Dewey Crow looking for his kidneys.
It's the end times. It's the end times, A. Ron Hubbard.
Okay, do we have any news this week?
Hell no.
All right, then let's get right into the recap.
I do have a spoilerific interview with Michael T. Williams. Is Williamson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That I'm going to discuss in the spoiler section.
Okay, great.
So there's some news.
Yeah, stick around for that after the music at the end. For now, let's do the recap. First scene is Quarles telling Duffy that he's leaving for a couple hours. Just a real quick scene there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some tension, for sure, between Quarles and Duffy.
A little bit.
Quarles has a way of expressing his point that is very interesting. I forget exactly what he says here. It's he's taunting Duffy for not being the stone cold killer that he thinks he is or wants to be.
It's almost like, yeah.
And he gets right up in his face and he says something intimidating.
Yeah. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I don't know.
But kind of, you know, why are you being a bitch?
I think he says you can't have the Duffy without the win.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Without the win.
With the weird expression on his face.
Win. There's another win-win kind of reference.
Oh, hey. Good catch.
This show is falling to Charlie Sheen philosophy of winning.
Definitely.
All the time.
Well, let's move on to the next scene.
Yes.
Raylan comes down to the bar to get some coffee when the Detroit hitmen come in to find out where Quarles is. Basically, he puts a smackdown on
Michael Ironsides.
No, is it?
Yeah.
That's who that guy is?
You did not know that's... That, no. Dude, he's gained like 150 pounds, but yeah.
Okay.
That's Jester from Top Gun, among other things.
Holy crap.
Yeah. How the mighty have fallen.
He's still a hitman, so...
Yeah, it's true.
It's pretty badass. True. I think he moved up on the badass scale.
He's not playing total pussies, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
But anytime Raylan gets to kick someone's ass before the credits roll, you know you got a special episode.
Definitely. And the way he just manhandles this guy. This guy comes in like he's gonna... Like he's some tough guy and like just smashes his head on the bar.
Which
love it.
We said at the time, what the hell is it? All of a sudden open season on U.S. Marshals?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't...
But we did. We found... Yeah, I mean, obviously, in light of what we know now about the episode, it all makes sense. But still, that guy was riding pretty tough on Raylan.
Yeah, just for insulting him.
Yeah. Felt like you know, this guy still is a federal officer, assholes.
Yeah.
You can't just bury him in front of a, you know, a witness.
They do things differently in Detroit.
Apparently so.
So then Art revises Raylan's statement about what happened when Quarles walked into that bar last episode.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get his story straight. And it was a good story, too. The music is loud. Can't hear it. So I fired off a shot.
Even though it's against martial regulations, because it's the only way these people could have heard my instructions to evacuate for their own safety.
Yeah. It was a literal warning shot.
Some quality bullshit.
Definitely. Now that they have a federal reason to go after Quarles, Art tells Raylan to pick him up, but he decides that he's going to go with him.
Well, it's funny because Raylan's like, you know, threatening a federal officer. That's a bullshit charge.
Yeah. Whereas we had Dickie who took a bat to a federal officer and he points that out to Art.
But, you know, what brought down Al Capone? Tax evasion.
Yep.
You get him any way you can.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put him behind bars or in the ground. You do whatever you need to do.
Plus, in this episode, Art is genuinely concerned for Raylan. I mean, throughout it, we see them talking about... Raylan's kind of ribbing him, saying, oh, you're just worried I'm going to get shot, aren't you? And Art kind of is.
I was going to say it was almost a fatherly concern, but I'm pretty sure the episode made it clear that it was a fatherly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A sense of fatherly concern.
Yeah. Then Dickie gets out of prison, and Errol's there to meet him with the same $46,000 that he tried to give him before.
Mm-hmm.
Dickie refuses it once again, and we find out that Tim and Rachel were watching the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess they're tailing Dickie now. They want to see what happens with him.
Wise.
For good reason, yeah. Quarles goes to Napier to demand the money back.
Can I ask you something before we go much further?
Yeah.
Did you like this episode as well the second time you watched it?
Because
I'm going on a single watch this week.
It seems... I don't know. The second time through, it always seems more straightforward. So it wasn't as like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's still a very strong episode.
Okay. Because I thought this was, I want to say, the best episode of the season.
I've said that
several times this season already.
Yeah. It seems like every new episode is the best.
Or at least every other one, which is good. You want it to keep on getting better and better
and
better.
Yeah. I honestly felt like this is the one that is going to make the other two at the end pay off, because they set up the Limehouse thing where Errol and Dickie are kind of going to go after them, apparently.
Plus, I'm saying Dickie coming back and entering as a wild card into the mix.
Yeah.
That's what it needed to take itself over the top, which is why I think best episode ever.
Definitely. It's strong, for sure. But there's a scene that is really strong here where Quarles goes to Napier to get the money back. Napier doesn't have it, so Quarles tells him to find a drug dealer he can rob. Quarles has gone off the deep end, right?
At this point, apparently he needs to tool up on a male hustler to regain his powers.
I guess so.
Because he's been on a long slide since he offed the one dude chained to the bed.
Yeah.
And now he's got another one to kind of recharge his evil powers. He's back on a rampage because he's in like DGAF, do not give a fuck mode right now.
Yeah. It seems like he might be playing it a little bit smarter. Like, Boyd has gotten to him, and now he realizes he needs to up his game again. But I don't know if that's going to be good enough to stop Boyd.
I'm glad he did it, because...
It's desperation,
yeah. But he's not desperation like last episode, where he's just going in and threatening federal marshals and all that kind of stuff.
I felt like...
It's calculated.
That was almost a kamikaze, right? He goes in there expecting something horrible to happen, and luckily it doesn't. But this time he's got at least a plan, I guess. And Napier is still kowtowing to this guy. I mean, there's not much he can do, I guess, since he's not going to be sheriff here in a few days.
Yeah, I think the dude's scared of
Quarles.
Quarles right now. Yeah.
Everyone actually is. In this episode, they talk about... doing something to incur Quarles' wrath, I guess, multiple times. They say, well, do you know Quarles? Do you want to cross him? You better make sure he's dead. All right, let's move on.
Yep.
Dickie tries to convince Rodney to help him. Rodney's the big marijuana dealer from Tennessee, by the way, who we saw was trying to buy. They were trying to sell the wet weed to him, the moldy weed, back in season 2.
They told him to go fuck themselves. Here's $5,000 if you want it.
So Dickie contacts that guy to help him get $3 million from Limehouse. Rodney gives him until sundown, I think, to find out where Limehouse is keeping it.
Which seems like he's willing to do business with Dickie.
He is, which is surprising because, I mean, he's got a few guys there for muscle, but what do you think Limehouse has got in the holler? That's his home base, man. He's got, apparently Errol says he's got everybody in there in his pocket.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, he's running the show there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know that three guys and Rodney are going
to
do it.
Exactly to go, where to go, I don't know. I mean, with $3 million, that's a lot of cash.
It is,
but... you don't pay taxes on it either.
I don't think they're going to be able to get it that way, just by barging in over the bridge.
Right.
Yeah. So then Boyd's crew discuss whether they should go after Dickie. Johnny does not want to. But Boyd tells him that they're going to, and then sends him out to find Dickie. A lot of interesting interactions this episode between Johnny and Boyd. I don't think Johnny is happy with Boyd at all.
And I think that could turn on him. It's been something I've been saying all season long. I feel like the thing that... Because Boyd always seems like he's in control and he's got a plan, but the one thing he's not planning on, or maybe he is...
You never know. He planned on... Well, he certainly knew the devil was going to betray him.
Is Johnny and where his loyalties lie. That's the wild card on the Boyd. So if we're identifying all the wild cards... Dickie is the wild card against Limehouse. Wynn is the wild card against Quarles. And Johnny's the wild card against Boyd?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. So they've all got kind of foils there.
And they're
mix.
All in their inner circles, too.
Yeah. Yeah. This is scary. Mm. Scary stuff for all of them.
That if you stack it up that way, Limehouse has the most wild cards against him because Errol is another wild card.
Is also against him, yeah.
Unless he's acting on...
Unless
Limehouse's orders.
I was going to say, unless he's totally bullshitting about this plan,
right.
Which is a distinct possibility given how, I guess, how quick he was to defend Limehouse's word.
But on the other hand, the show has done a very good job of all these characters of building it up to where it's you could go either way. I mean, Win Duffy is incredibly intimidated about the Detroit connection and the quarrels himself. Johnny is intimidated by Boyd and his blood. But all these three wild cards have just enough backstory, like Errol being dissatisfied about the old school way Limehouse is doing things. It's just believable that they're going to cross them.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Raylan and Art head out to look for Quarles, and Art refuses to admit that he's worried Raylan's going to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But he really is. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a quick scene there. Quarles shows up at the drug dealer's house.
Wait, we all know he's going to get shot? You think Art's going to get shot?
No. I'm saying Art doesn't admit that he's worried that Raylan's going to get shot, but we all know that he is.
Yeah, but
he's worried about it.
We've had a lot of fans, and I thought to myself that when I first watched it, that this also could be foreshadowing that Art's going to get shot.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, he just all but said, I'm afraid, I'm worried about me getting shot. That's usually not something you want to hear the heroes of your show saying.
Mm-hmm. Especially with him mixing himself up in this business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he should be tucked away in his office doing paperwork.
Yep.
I think he's getting too old for the field work. This is an interesting scene where Quarles goes to the drug dealer's house and murders both of them, robs them, takes their money and their drugs. And after he kills these guys, he says, what a dick. He calls the guy he just murdered a dick. That's Quarles for you.
Well, he was kind of a dick.
Yeah, but you just murdered the guy.
Right.
I think that says enough.
He's kind of had it coming, though, I guess. Is that what we're saying?
No, well, he was also saying he sprayed him with blood.
Mm-hmm.
So Quarles didn't like that. He got his suit all messy.
Plus, the dude, he was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a tweaker.
Yeah. A dealer
on crystal meth. And
I love how Quarles kind of transformed in this alternate character, this like extremely foppish, don't know what's going on. And then he starts pointing out innocently, it's like, wow, you guys leave your drugs unlocked. And there's no boy in Detroit, this would be a bad, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what's happening, and the tweakers don't.
They kind of catch on, and that's
suddenly, I don't like your questions. But instead of just pulling and blasting them, they're just like, get out. So,
yeah. Then,
I thought that Quarles killed him with that sword.
No, I think he killed him with the hand.
Because that's what Graham Yost said too.
The sheath
that,
of the sword,
he beat him to death with the sheath of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought the what kind of damage he was doing that he was actually using the blade.
No, the blood was spraying, but I think that was just blunt force trauma.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Old Quarles can deliver.
It reminded
a punch.
Me of that scene. Have you seen The Watchmen?
Yes.
Rorschach has a meat cleaver and he was like just chopping into that dude's head, the child molester's head.
Mm, it's been a while.
Anyway, that scene where you just see like the sheath is beating into that dude's head.
Hmm.
That's pretty graphic for Fox. For FX.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's also a nude woman in this one.
What?
Sunbathing. Oh yeah.
In the background?
Yeah, at
that's not likely to miss. Yeah, I maybe the bikini girl was drawing all of my attention.
Well, it's the same girl. Yeah, she walks out, she walks back in, then she walks out and goes to the like a tanning chair and just lays out. And you see it from like really far away, but it's blurry because they're focusing up on Theo's face.
Well, it's only fair that, you know, we saw Neil's ass. It's only fair that we get the other side.
Sure. Maybe they'll show us both sides in the next episode. I don't know. Anyway. Rachel and Tim show up at Rodney's place, I guess.
Kind of nice to see them acting as a team, right?
Yeah.
Without being babysitting Raylan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're kind of badasses in their own right.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel kicks a dude in the balls here.
Hell yeah, she does.
A guy tried to act tough on her and hit on her.
Mm-hmm.
Just wham, right in the stones. So Dickie visits Ellie Mae to find out if she knows where Limehouse keeps the money. She tells Dickie that he keeps it under Noble's church, which everyone knows, apparently, in this episode, that is a old story, and that's not really where he keeps it. Mm-hmm. What's your feeling on that?
Well, do you believe Errol or not?
I don't know how far I believe Errol.
I don't either. Like, wouldn't it be funny if they actually do keep it in the church?
Isn't that the brilliance of the show?
You hide it in plain sight. Like, no one believes it because that's what everybody knows.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's the obvious thing. Of course, if I were the cops and there were rumors about a dude keeping a ton of money under a church illegally, I would go check out the church at least.
I don't know. Maybe the cops aren't really allowed in Noble's Holler.
Maybe.
But do you think... The only thing that makes me believe that it might be legit is that Ellie Mae seemed awfully, invested in the idea that Dickie would be the king of Harlan.
Yeah, she wants him to make her his queen.
So
she's the king.
But on the other hand, do you really believe Limehouse is going to let any of his battered women see where he keeps his bank? Like, that seems like a big weakness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she says that Trixie saw it, right? And we know that Trixie was obviously close to Limehouse before she got killed.
Why do we know that?
Didn't we see her scene with Limehouse?
Yeah, but that's any abused woman that comes to his holler. He uses them for information.
I don't know. I didn't get that vibe from Ellie Mae.
Really?
That he was using her for information. Thought it was
maybe she's dumb as a box of rocks.
Well, she is that.
But you're right. I mean, it would be kind of ingenious if it was in the church.
Hmm.
Especially, can you imagine like the closing minutes of episode 313 after, Limehouse is still around, but Quarles has been disposed, or maybe even Limehouse is dead and it's just Boyd and Raylan left standing, but people are like, yeah, no one ever found that money. And then you have this camera pan to the church and then underneath the rafters and there's just this giant, secondhand lion stash of underground dollar bills everywhere.
Yeah. Could also be interesting if Limehouse is killed this season and that happens.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you said Limehouse was still around.
Well, but, yes, but then I said, or even if he dies. And people are like, I wonder where all the cash is.
That could be a sort of MacGuffin for next season, all this cash. The other thing I noticed in this scene, they mention you're liable to get fed to the hogs or something if you cross Limehouse. So he's got a Hannibal Lecter thing going, right? He feeds people to the hogs? He's got a Silence of the Lambs sort of thing?
I would say that's more of a Snatch thing. The movie Snatch, right? The English,
gangster
going on and on about, you should always beware a man who keeps pigs. Pigs will go through,
this case, too.
He, talks about how they can eat a corpse, bone, hair, tooth, and all in, 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So, this, again, you got to beware a man who keeps hogs.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially one who has such huge knives as well.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Art and Raylan stake out Wynn's RV when the hitmen show up and they chat about Raylan becoming a father. And this is where we've got Art kind of expressing, hey, I don't want you dead before your kid comes into this world,
Right.
So Art is being kind of a fatherly figure here. And there's a great joke about Art having met Raylan's dad before. Like he says, Art, I don't need another daddy, or I don't need another daddy. And he's like, I've met your dad. He's like, go on.
So I actually think that there might be more than just banter, that Art's maybe wondering if a lot of Raylan's problem is that he's not had a proper father.
Yeah, and I think there's always kind of been a...
that really cares about him, because that's one thing I've gotten, is that Arlo doesn't really care about
And vice versa.
Raylan. Well, but... there's a reason. Like, if the sons never got any kind of love, affection, or approval, or protection from their old man, why would they?
Sure.
Why is Arlo's excuse to not, support or be proud of Raylan.
Yeah.
Because he's a lawman. I don't think he was ever that supportive to begin with. I mean, I think that's, that's, you know, when he was mining coal, for God's sake. It's interesting. The more I think about how, I don't know a lot about Raylan and Boyd's backstory, but it seems like they both tried to go legit, work in the same coal mine, and Raylan then went into law, and Boyd went, you know, went into criminal enterprise.
Yeah.
But it's all as because of their weird relationship with their fathers.
Yeah, and I feel like there has always been a kind of father-son relationship between Art and Raylan. It hasn't been as explicit, I guess. But it's been more under the surface. But Art has always worried about Raylan.
But I think this season especially, because he's seen so many things arrayed against him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and they've already launched an attack via the FBI. And
hell yeah.
There's a lot of stuff coming down on Raylan.
Uh-huh.
Johnny then reports back to Boyd that Parker and Longball, who are the two drug dealers that Quarles shot, are dead. And there's this weird shot here of Arlo. Did you see this where he's like, Johnny said that Arlo got shorted last week, and he's like, "The hell, I got shorted," or something. Like an old prospector. And I can't tell if this is the guy who plays Arlo being a terrible actor, or if this is him doing a fantastic job of acting like Arlo is slowly going crazy. Or if it's just something that is fucked up in the episode. Like, I honestly can't tell here.
Well, you know, because that was like Bo Crowder when he got out of prison. That was one of the problems he had with Arlo, is that his protection money has been slipping. I think Arlo is just a piss poor collect. I mean, I don't think.
Well, we also know that Arlo is on medication, right?
Yeah.
And we assume it's for some kind of degenerative disease.
Yeah.
Could be Alzheimer's, could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But is Arlo slowly going crazy? That's my real question here.
A little bit, but I also wonder if there's something to this about the fact that Arlo is just not a really good criminal. Like, he can't brutalize people the way they need to be brutalized to be a good gangster.
I saw him brutalize somebody in season one.
Yeah, but that was for personal reasons. Like, he had a good reason.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Could he go up to a shopkeeper and be like, "Hey, nice place you got here. You should..." Or I'll break your kneecaps.
Ever heard of Henry Aaron?
Yeah. Have you heard of great Henry Aaron? Yeah, so I don't know. I kind of wonder, because it's Boyd's father's frustrations with Arlo seem to be now Boyd's frustrations with Arlo.
Yeah, he handed it down.
Has he been slipping this whole time?
Maybe so. So then we find out that Duffy sent the hitmen to Raylan's bar, hoping that they'd kill Raylan or that Raylan would kill them.
Right.
One of the guys threatens Duffy by telling a story about Theo and a human ear. Pretty intimidating story, if you ask me. Whenever he doesn't like what he's hearing, he whips out this ear and he talks into it. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, like, how does that work? What does he say into the ear?
I don't know.
Is it like, "Do you think this guy's lying to me?" He's like holding it like a microphone.
Yeah.
"What do you think, ear? Do you think I should spare this guy's life?" Just like, it's a way to talk about the guy right in front of him and really creep the guy out.
Probably. Think of the creepiest thing you could think of, and that's it, I'm sure.
Plus, do ears just keep like that? Is it turned to like leather?
We'll have to ask Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Or is it like a pig's ear? You know, you buy it at a pet store, it's all...
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know
the science of
the science
severed
of
ears.
Ear mummification.
Yeah.
Ear jerky.
Not up to date on that. So I found it interesting that Duffy thought he could take these guys out, like, because he pulls guns on them. What is he thinking here? Why is he getting himself mixed up in this business that they have with Quarles? He's just going to off these guys and think that Theo won't come after him?
Maybe he's thinking that they're going to off him. He's trying to get leverage on them. Because why wouldn't they kill Wynn and this dude?
Well, they don't want Wynn. They just want Quarles. But now they, like, after they came back and realized that Wynn set him up, pretty much.
Right. I'm just saying that I just feel like Wynn was trying to make a strong play to get the attention of Detroit.
Yeah.
And have some leverage.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. it worked in that way, as we'll get to. So then Boyd and his crew, I guess, go over to Parker and Longball's place to find out what happened. The neighbor shows up, who's this weird older woman, but she doesn't have any sympathy for those guys. But she does clue Boyd into the fact that Quarles was the killer. So,
what do you think about Boyd? Because I saw that in EW, the postmortem on this episode that Entertainment Weekly does with Graham Yost every week, that he wanted to have like Boyd do this like serious investigation, show that he really is like a dark mirror reflection of Raylan, and it never went on beyond like, you know, look for bleach.
The bleach bottle.
Yeah. And they ran out of time, so they basically invented this neighbor lady that came in and like spilled the beans.
Okay.
Do you think that would have been cool if he like did this CSI Harlan routine?
It's actually hard to say on that one, I think. I don't picture Boyd as that kind of character, but it's because we haven't seen it yet. I kind of give Boyd enough credit that whatever they show me Boyd doing, I'm okay with it.
I think I'm of the opinion that if they'd have done that, it'd been a little too far.
You think?
Yeah, like a little too on the nose. The fact that they did this shows reaffirms what we know about Boyd, which he's a smart character, is observant. But if he starts like, you know, dusting for fingerprints and like I see this broken, start doing a McNulty bunk. You know,
gets on his jet skis, jumps over that shark.
Yeah, I'd have been like, that's a little too on the nose. So I actually think that maybe the time constraint worked to their favor a little bit.
Yeah, I could see how that would be the case. I do like the description that she gives of Quarles here.
Yeah.
That he looks like a husky because his eyes do look like a freaking wolf.
They sure do.
I hadn't made that comparison until she said it, but man, that's spot on.
And I guess another thing I picked up in the postmortem is that's a game they play on with the writers and on the set, like Insult Neil. They try to each week come up with a new way to describe his freakish appearance. And sometimes, like, he suggested the husky one because I guess that's something that he, like, personally joked about. It's like, I look like my mom fucked a husky.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. That's cool. Let's move on. Sure. Boyd tells Rodney where Limehouse keeps the money. But what we didn't know is that Rachel and Tim are sitting in the car listening to the conversation through Rodney's phone. Mm-hmm. So Rodney has flipped on Boyd. Yeah, interesting. Interesting turn of events there. Apparently, he didn't want to get kicked in the balls by Rachel, so he went along with the plan.
Sure. Yeah. What kind of leverage do you think they used on him to get him to do that?
That's a good question.
A threat to the trauma to the groin was a sufficient threat. Because that did seem a little, you know, random that he'd just flip on Dickie like that.
Yeah, I don't know what they have on Rodney. Maybe they were just threatening to start looking into his business a little more closely.
I don't know. It seems like that was a slightly convenient plot point. And maybe I'm missing something.
No, I think you're right. They kind of needed that to happen.
I'll spot him. He might just be thinking that, you know, Dickie's an idiot. These guys already have me on some. I'm not going down for a moron.
Yeah, that could be it, too. So next scene is Boyd threatening Napier into giving up Quarles' location. Boyd is intimidating when he gets up close and personal.
But
he's got some muscle with
him. He does.
But not much. It's basically this one guy as far as I can tell.
Don't you think that at this point Napier would prefer Boyd to Quarles?
Yeah.
Because Boyd's not going to come in there and try to take his office.
That's true, but he just got bested by Boyd. So, like, the guy he was in bed with got bested
Quarles
by Boyd.
Quarles got bested by Boyd, if you want to look at it that way. Maybe that's the way Napier looks at it, too.
Well, Napier also lost that debate because of him. Like, Boyd strolled in there and was all highfalutin.
I'm just saying, in the lesser of two devils, it might be the devil you know. Mm-hmm. No pun intended to our devil that got killed in the episode title. But it might be it's like, well, I know Boyd and he's from here. Mm-hmm. Quarles is this wild man.
And he does seem like more of a madman than Boyd does.
Yeah.
Certainly.
That's such a shit. Like, Napier's Lando Calrissian.
What do you mean?
The deal just keeps getting worse and worse all the time. Oh, that 50 grand, that, I'm taking it back now, actually, with interest.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, he's digging himself deeper.
But also, I thought it was very good. This is another classic Quarles win-win play. He needed the money, and he hit one of Boyd's protection people because Boyd's already weak, and he knew that because of the, who did he off, what's that guy's name? The whoremonger?
Delroy?
Delroy.
Delroy, yeah.
So, and which is under his protection. He's already weak, and now another drug dealer of his gets hit.
Yeah.
Or another guy under his protection. That's,
he's cutting off his cash.
He needs the money.
Yeah.
And he's also hurting his business. Again, yeah. A win-win.
Definitely. So now with Rodney and his muscle out of the picture, Dickie, I guess, decides to take the $46,000 from Limehouse. So Errol meets up with him to make the exchange, but Rachel and Tim bust up the meeting and seize the money. So Dickie has nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it seem like this is the only way he's going to survive, is if he gets this money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said something about, I'd rather die trying to get my $3 million than die without it.
Well, that's, well...
Die because I don't have it.
I think that's classic Dickie. Dickie's eyes are... I'm not going to say they're too big for his stomach, but he's got big appetites, big desires, big ambitions.
Plus, how many days of honest work do you think this guy's ever done?
Well, I mean, he is somewhat disabled.
That's true. That's true. And I'm assuming Mags was keeping him afloat.
Just
paying all of his bills, giving him whatever he needed.
Well, I don't know whatever he needed. Did you see where Coover and him were living?
No, I mean whatever he actually needed.
Yeah.
Like, to survive.
He wasn't going to starve.
Exactly, yeah.
When Mags was around. But yeah, I mean, this is his, kind of like what Shelby said, this is my last opportunity to make something of myself. I think that that is also something that Dickie could say.
Yeah.
He for sure can't get a shittier haircut.
No, what's up with his hair?
Dude, were they going to try to steal his brain?
The sides of his head are shaved, right?
Only one side, right?
It might only be one side, but it's a patch. It's just a shaved patch. Yeah.
I don't, and that
I'm assuming he got held down in prison and somebody shaved his head.
That wasn't there last week during the prison scene, was it?
I don't know. His hair is always so insane that I can't tell.
It's getting more and more insane, though.
I love it. It's just
I
part
feel like
of his
next
character.
Week he's going to show up like Dennis Rodman-esque with like Kool-Aid different colors dyed through his hair, rainbow light.
That'd be awesome. Do it.
Anyway.
The hitmen then go to Quarles' place, but he's not inside. Instead, he's on the street watching from his car while Art and Raylan bust one of the hitmen outside. Mm-hmm. Really smooth fashion, too. I mean, yep. Raylan just... strolls up behind this guy.
Shadowed him.
And he makes a big deal about it, too. He's like, I thought I was too good to get shadowed. Or stealthed, I think he calls it.
Was it stealth or shadow? Yeah,
I think stealth. And Raylan cracks wise on him again there.
Maybe you got too old or maybe you just weren't that good to begin with.
Exactly, yeah. And then they go inside where the other hitman has a hostage. Art shoots him in the leg, and Raylan finds out that they don't work for Quarles. They're trying to kill him. Which we knew all along, but Raylan needed to find that out.
Yeah.
Apparently he assumed that they were there to kill Raylan, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Quarles walked in and said, I'm going to kill you someday, and he assumed this was the day.
Well, I mean, because I don't think that Raylan knew to the extent that Quarles was down here on his own and being cut off, right?
Yeah, certainly.
So it's certainly conceivable that the Detroit Mafia would send a hitman down to take care of this troublesome marshal.
Definitely.
I think. And in fact, up until, you know, halfway through the episode, I kind of assumed that, yeah, they did come to the bar to muscle in on Raylan.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Next scene is Quarles asking Limehouse if he can hide out in Noble's Holler. Limehouse tells him that he'll allow him to stay if he pays back what he owes. Quarles tries to pay it back with some cash and some drugs. Limehouse says, He says, ho, 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 horses. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not taking those drugs. Come back when you can turn those drugs into something that I'll take. Cash. So Quarles takes the money and he leaves. Or, I'm sorry, he takes the drugs and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got to find a way to cash those in. Really, really good scene here, right? I mean, Quarles understands, I feel, Limehouse pretty well.
And he knows...
He shows up. He knew he needed that money to pay him back.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't quite calculate that Limehouse would not take drugs for payment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he knew the smell of blood in the air, the reason he holds his meetings here. They're both very smart guys.
He's not intimidated, but also he... Mm-hmm. He knows not to push his luck with him, too.
How about when Limehouse throws this that is knife?
Not, this is not, oh, fuck yeah.
And
this
says,
is
not,
I'm not Napier.
Holding a knife now.
This is not Napier.
Yeah.
That he can
he
just
was
go
ready
and
to
bully.
Fist fight Quarles right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Quarles wanted to.
Right. And if Quarles drew on him, he might kill, but he will not make it out of that room alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Who else was in that room? Was it Errol's? Was it Errol? Was
it one of his
Bernard?
Henchmen. One of his henchmen. I didn't know. I can't recall their face.
I don't even know if it was Bernard. I think it might have been.
I thought it might
one.
Have been a new. Yeah. I didn't think it was Bernard or Errol. We got a new nameless henchman that works from a Limehouse that we won't find a name for episodes.
We'll have to ask Taylor.
Yeah. Get him back on.
Yep. So then while Boyd listens in, Napier tells Quarles to take the drugs to Audrey's. Pretty smart, Boyd.
Yep.
Although Quarles should have seen this coming,
I
right?
thought so too. I thought this was, again, a nod to his desperation and kind of moving a little bit too fast for him to think things through.
Yeah. When Napier calls up and says, I was just looking for you to find out if you needed to sell those drugs you stole.
A little too pat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
So Duffy calls up Theo. Is it Theo or Tio? It has an H in there, but I don't know if it's...
I thought he said
Theotonin.
Yeah,
it couldn't be Theotonin. Yeah. That'd be terrible.
No. Theotonin. That sounds like a foot gear.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like something bodybuilders inject.
Theotonin. Are those the type of glove that Dan Marino sold?
Oh, there you go.
Try my Theotonins.
Awesome.
They fit skin tight.
Yeah, Duffy calls him up to ask if he can take Quarles' place, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Quarles has gone off the deep end. Theo tells him to deliver Quarles dead or alive.
Did you know
see about
that
it.
Adam Arkin mm-hmm. had directed like 5 episodes of... Justified?
No.
Yeah, he's a frequent director of the show.
Wow.
I think we have
any specific
bit...
ones that we would know off the top of our heads?
Yes, the Blood's Thicker Than Mud, the Dewey Crow heist, organ heist episode is directed.
Any from season 2? Did he do any of that brilliant work?
I do believe so.
Wow.
Why don't you keep talking and I will look up some of this stuff.
Okay, go for it. Next scene is Duffy calling Quarles, who's now at Audrey's place, to tell him that the hitmen are after him. But Boyd's been hiding in the trailer, and he knocks Quarles out with a taser, and they tie him to a bed. Strip him naked, tie him to a bed, position that Quarles is probably comfortable in, I'd assume. he tells Duffy to come down to Harlan to exchange him for the reward money. So, I don't know if Duffy's going to get any money out of this. It looks like Boyd might get the money.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of the win-win there again.
Yep.
Is now... Actually, that's a triple win because you got Duffy on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I mean, everybody seems to be solving their problems only to have someone else solve their own problem in a way that fucks them up.
Sure.
I love it. The balance here is so good.
Adam Arkin directed these 5 episodes. Long in the Tooth, which was the dentist procedural episode
from
that we quite
one.
Liked.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Bulletville, which I believe was the finale of season 1.
What happened in that?
Where they went to the cabin and had to shoot out with Bo and the Miami Mafia. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
He directed The Moonshine War, which is the first episode of season 2, where they established Mags and all that. And he directed the penultimate episode of season 2, episode 12, The Reckoning, where Rayland tracks down Dickie after his Aunt Helen was killed. And he had to have Arlo broker a deal with Mags to get her blessing on taking action on mm-hmm. him. So, so
all
he's
good
got
episodes, man.
Yeah, he's got name a couple bad ones. he's got quite the Justified pedigree.
Definitely.
So now he's a star, got a starring credit.
So what'd you think about Quarles getting shocked, and tied to a bed?
I thought I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Yeah. We all knew that Boyd was in that trailer before he even showed up.
My question is, How in the world is Quarles going to regain the upper hand? Because we know Boyd's going to go for the 200 grand prize, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only way I can see him getting loose is not from Boyd. It's from Duffy. If Duffy somehow underestimates him. But nobody seems to be underestimating
him. What if he sweet-talks the prostitutes that are guarding him?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm just saying it's like he's not done with...
Yeah, he's not dead.
He's not dead, and there's too much premonition, you know, when Duffy's saying, if I were you, I'd kill him.
Yep.
And the whole, there's, it just seems like, I don't know how he's going to do it, but somehow he's going to get out.
I'm right there with you. There's too much foreshadowing for that not to be true. I also thought that the performance from Duffy here is really good. He strikes me a lot like Quarles without the insane side. He's very calm. Yes. He's very thoughtful when he speaks. Although I'm surprised Boyd even mentions this. I'm surprised he told Boyd exactly what the reward was for Quarles. You know, most people would say, oh, it was 50,000 alive and 100,000 dead.
Do you think that's some sort of defining attribute of him? Like he's got this honest streak?
I don't know, but I can definitely see him stepping into Quarles' shoes when Quarles is out of the picture.
Season 5 plot that could carry on.
Sure. Yeah, he's a good enough villain, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
if they find some interesting
things
for him,
he's been in every season so far of Justified.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's move on.
Yep.
Raylan decides to go see Napier. Not much going on there. I mean, he's just talking with Art in the office. He's like, yep, I'm going to go see Napier. Rachel and Tim leave with the money that they've confiscated from Dickie. And then Dickie and Errol hatch a plan to steal money back from Limehouse. Crazy plan, but Errol says they should get Boyd to help them out.
Well, if it's buried in concrete, you need dynamite.
How the hell are they going to get Boyd and Dickie cooperating? I have a feeling they won't. I have a feeling that Errol is going to say, look, there's $3 million.
This is heading towards an Ocean's 11 type deal where it's in everyone's best interest to cooperate, but the tension is going to be when the double cross comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like the frog and the scorpion agreeing to swim across the river together. When is the frog going to get stung?
Interesting thing in here is everyone has business in Noble Holler now, except for maybe Raylan. Raylan's the only one who really doesn't at this moment, I think. But
if he doesn't know that Quarles is down there.
Yeah, yeah. So Errol and Dickie are going in for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel and Tim are going in for the money,
mm-hmm.
which they might get Raylan involved for that.
Right.
Quarles needs to go back to hide there ostensibly, and pay off Limehouse. I feel like the Noble Holler is going to be the scene for the final showdown in this season.
Yes. We got a shitload of plot and only two episodes to work it out.
Still need a back-to-back gun battle with Boyd and Raylan.
Unless that's just a promo bullshit thing.
Maybe.
But all of that, there's only two episodes left, and all signs point to Noble Holler. I think you're right.
Definitely.
I'm starting to worry about Limehouse, though.
Me too.
Starting to think that it's not a... two episodes ago, I thought a sure thing he's going to survive the next season. Mm-hmm. Not so sure now.
I don't know. Maybe Errol's been talking, and you know how Limehouse's ears work pretty well.
That's true.
We'll see. And the final scene. That was the final scene.
I was going to say, I thought so.
Sorry.
I'm out of notes.
Yeah, that was the final scene. Yeah, we know that Errol does that kind of because Limehouse is unwilling to change with the times. I thought it was a little weird that he would suddenly be on Dickie's side in this, but just slightly. It wasn't beyond belief.
Well, and
certainly.
Again, you don't know whether this is a legit thing or whether this is some kind of long con that's working out somehow. Because remember, Limehouse and Errol were just talking last episode about, you know, you got to do something about Dickie.
Yeah.
Because if he keeps poking around, maybe this is that something to do.
You could be absolutely right. Just get Dickie to stroll into Noble Holler
uh-huh.
and set him up.
Yep.
Could be, man. Poor Dickie.
It could be the devil Johnny type role where, you know, where Dickie is playing the role of devil and Errol's playing the role of Johnny.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway.
Who's Boyd?
And you don't. That would be Limehouse.
Limehouse is going to be Boyd? All right.
Who's Quarles? Ava.
Quarles wasn't there. Yeah, Ava is Quarles. They both have the same color
Quarles
hair.
Quarles is Ava.
It's the only other blonde in the series.
He shits blonde. We found that out. That's that's canonical now.
We did. That's all I have on this episode. It was really good until we started talking about it and Aaron blew it. No.
Shit's blonde, man. I just got the full visual on that.
Shit's blonde?
Yeah.
It comes out a rich platinum. Yellow color.
Platinum, man.
Yeah. It's like the golden goose.
Anyway,
that's it for this recap. Want to do some feedback?
Sure. Diamond Rattler leads us off. He says, maybe this is a question to ask after the season, but I was just wondering if you guys thought that after all said and done, Boyd will be Raylan's arch enemy. Maybe he already is, and will be the main baddie in the final season, whenever that is. Or do you guys see Boyd and Raylan having an uneasy alliance for the rest of the show? Boyd is easily my favorite character and just was wondering what your thoughts on him are and where you guys see him going if he makes it out of the season.
Man, I think you hit it right on the head. I think Boyd is the final hurdle for Raylan to overcome in this series. Boyd's going to be around.
Put him in jail or put him in the ground?
Yeah, just like he said last season.
That's with Quarles. What are you talking about?
Didn't he say that to Boyd?
I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure he said that to Boyd, yeah.
He says that a lot about people, then.
That's true.
What if the whole arc of Justified is about redemption, and Boyd ends up somehow as a deputy marshal?
Well, he's already deputized somebody, so that could be possible.
Well, Raylan, according to the testimony that we saw, we didn't see all of it, but when he's talking to the AUSA and the FBI agent, Barkley... he mentioned in one of his rap sheets is that he did deputize Boyd at the end of season one.
Yeah.
That gun battle. So it's like,
you know what? I'm calling bullshit on that. There has never been a single redemption of any character in this show. Everyone has gotten worse and worse and worse until they end up dead. Every single one of them.
What if Raylan...
I don't think there's a redemption arc in this.
What if the last season he goes rogue?
Yeah.
He, like, gives up his badge and goes on some kind of... That would be kind of interesting. To take down Boyd, he has to go extra legal.
Because
he's said that a couple times. Like, if you push me, I will put aside this badge.
Yeah.
And kill, you know, just kill you in cold blood.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, so you definitely buy into the theory that Boyd's going to be...
Yeah.
He's going to be the main boss. Final boss.
Of the series.
So Raylan has to level up for.
I think so.
All right. Forrest D says, I was reading Sepinwall's recap of Measures, and he mentions that Adam Arkin, who plays Theo Tonin, was also director of a few Justified episodes. I looked it up on IMDb, and it shows that he's directed 5.
Oh.
Which we talked about.
Yeah, we should have waited.
He also did the one about Dewey Crow's stolen kidneys thick as mud. Thought that was pretty cool. Thanks for the podcast. So I read that just to give you full credit there, Forrest D.
You're the one
that dropped that science on us. Mike Sandage from Facebook says he started up his feedback with a little bit of quotes from Art and Raylan. Shut up, I'm feeling my way through this. Yeah. Art, I've already got a daddy. Yeah, I've met your daddy. Fair enough. Continue. Classic.
Yep.
His analysis is when Duffy finally makes his move, Adam Arkin also shows up. He played a bad guy before as a white supremacist leader on Sons of Anarchy a couple years back. The lead actress from Alcatraz also played his neo-Nazi daughter. Justified is great again. Dickie getting slapped and following that up with his trademark loogie. That character is awesome. My main concern, however, is where's Dewey? I was piddling around on IMDb and saw that Jeremy Davis portrayed Corporal Upham in Saving Private Ryan. How did I not know that? Did you know that?
I
translator?
Mm-hmm.
He's a great character actor and just kind of like Gary Oldman disappears in those roles.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
If you compare everything that Gary Oldman's been in versus the things you think he's been in, it's a much larger list.
Yeah. And I guarantee you've seen things that he's in and didn't realize he was in them.
Sure. Sure. But
where is Dewey Crow?
Apparently he and one of our other Facebook fans pointed out that his contract, and I think we talked about it at the time, they only get a few episodes of him, and then he has to go back to Australia to star in something else. And the
is that a punishment?
No, yeah, he goes to the penal colony of Australia.
Yeah,
Graham Yost mentioned that in an interview a while back. Maybe even Taylor did so too. It's like they only get certain amount from him, and that episode where he it was all about him and the organs, that was the last one for the season.
Oh, wow!
So
we won't see him again this season.
They also mentioned about that they try to dole him out judiciously so the audience doesn't, you know, get tired of seeing him.
They do that with Dickie too.
Yeah.
He hasn't been around a whole lot.
Yeah. Although
not much more than Dewey.
Season two, he was pretty much in the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly. So. But he was still a background character a little bit in that one. So presumably he is out of prison, right? Because Dickie is. Wasn't he in for the same reason that Dickie was?
I would say it's a good presumption.
Okay.
They might even have mentioned it last episode. Come to think of it,
yeah, I don't know,
because Raylan is ticking off the people that he could lean on, and he's like, well, he'd get out too, and
yeah,
so
I don't know, but he's definitely not in this episode or in the next two.
Although Dewey was in there for something else. Dickie was in there on some dude's testimony that recanted, right?
Yeah.
So. Let's see. Ed K says, I'm just guessing here, but Coral's toy gun may get discovered. It looks like they're busy. They're going to strip him, right?
Yeah.
So that will be his secret power will be discovered and probably confiscated.
I would assume so. That's a very good point.
So maybe we will have a classic draw off and not this hidden gun crap at the end. Although Yost has mentioned something in a recent interview where he says he very much says that that's Chekhov's gun. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the famous, if a gun is shown in the first act, it needs to go off in the third act.
Yeah.
Well, we're deep in the third act. And I don't think it just being discovered and disabled is a sufficient going off.
Yeah. That means
that's why I think somebody's going to die. Limehouse or Boyd.
Somebody important.
We know Raylan's not. Boyd or Limehouse or maybe Ava. That would be one thing, and I said that in the fucking beginning of the season, that that's the one thing that could unite Boyd and Raylan, is if Ava got in trouble or Winona got in trouble.
Hmm. Yeah, I also wonder if someone else couldn't take that gun and use it, like Boyd.
Ooh.
Could be interesting.
So if Boyd discovered it, strapped it on, and used it for himself?
Yeah. Maybe used it to kill Dickie. Like, decided, okay, I'm going to go along with this plan to help him get the money.
Well, doesn't Boyd leave...
And killed him.
What if Johnny uses it?
That's also another possibility.
Because I think Boyd takes off and leaves Quarles to be watched while he goes does something else. And I think maybe Johnny's there too. But it'd be interesting if Johnny ended up trying to use that on Boyd.
Trying to use it on Boyd.
And then tries to shoot him and ends up missing and hits Ava.
Oh, he's in a lot of trouble if he does
that.
Well,
we're just speculating all kinds of crazy-ass shit.
We are. I love it.
Daniel Mendoza says, I love the term piddly shit.
Piddly shit?
Yeah, which was used prominently in this episode. Joshua Hawkins wonders, good Lord, is it next Tuesday yet? Does Duffy take the 1,000K or the 2,000K? Or 100,000K or 200,000K?
If he's smart, he takes 100,000.
I think that he doesn't have control over it. It's Boyd's decision.
Yeah, right now it is, certainly.
If Duffy had it, he'd take 100,000.
Yeah.
So
That's a smart way to go.
Kevin Bailey says, great episode. I kept having a bad feeling that somehow something was going to happen to Art. He talked about taking a bullet, and when he ran up to the Detroit gun thug, I really started to worry. Also, regarding Dewey, Yost said they like to use him sparingly, lest he wear out his welcome with the audience, which he was replying, I think, to Ed K there. Mm-hmm. Or actually to Mike Sandage.
Yeah.
Our embedded reporter from Harlan is going to bat cleanup for us tonight.
Ted
Cox.
Yeah.
He says, hey, guys, I was going through news feeds here at work and turned up a post in which a man from Harlan was indicted this week in Seaver County, Tennessee, on two counts of sale and delivery of Oxy. Just as background, Seaver County is where Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and all those are. Where or it's actually,
just,
it's not Seaver.
Just went on vacation.
It's not Seaver. It's Sevier, I found out.
Sevier?
I got the whole fucking history and I mispronounced that at the wrong place. And someone sat me down and made sure I knew about the first governor of Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, on two counts of sale and deliver oxy, he goes, I told you there were Harlan folks down that way. If you looked Aaron, you could have partied like Quarles.
Yeah, I have an oxy party.
A bottle of oxy never hurts anything, right?
It
just hurts prostitutes and
everything it touches.
and male prostitute beating hitmen. That's the only people it hurts. And yeah. Rush Limbaugh. By the way, real shine is 198 proof. You don't want a two-finger shot of that stuff. It's real bad news, and it probably works better disinfecting sperm mouth syndrome than pineapple juice.
Yeah, that's like sliver moonshine.
I don't know, because I was reading all the history of moonshine at the distillery I went to, and they said that, yeah, I mean, when you distill stuff, it comes out pure alcohol, and then you cut it with water to get the appropriate amount of alcohol content you want.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got one of the many benefits of having a father that works at a medical university is he can get Everclear by the 5-gallon jug. I have a 5-gallon jug of Everclear. Wow. And that stuff's not much fun to drink either. That's pure alcohol. That's all the feedback we've got. I've got a little bit of spoilers, and we'll also consider the promo for next week before that.
Great.
Do you want me to initiate the outro sequence?
Yeah, do it.
If you'd like to get in touch with Jim and I, you can do so at justified@baldmove.com. If you'd like to keep up with all the stuff we're doing, and my God, it's almost too much.
Almost.
I was thinking of, you know, the fans. How are they going to keep up with all the shit we're making every week for the next couple weeks?
The fans? How are we going to keep up?
I was
going
to say, you should be on this side of the mic.
Yeah.
We've got Justified wrapping up. We got Mad Men kicking off. We got Game of Thrones starting. We got the whole season one of Game of Thrones we've released this last month. We got, of course, Walking Dead and Breaking Good at baldmove.com. If you'd like to find all of our stuff. You can also follow me at facebook.com/baldmove, and Jim's holding down Twitter @baldmove. What am I missing? The three ways they can support us.
Yep.
One, tell a friend.
Oh yeah.
Word of mouth is the best way to spread this whole empire out. The second best way is to go to iTunes, as Jim mentioned, and give us a positive review. We are actually now the number one Justified podcast in the iTunes ranking.
So, wow.
Finally cool. Knocked off David Chin.
Yeah? Did you send Quarles after him?
I did. Send a couple
of Detroit hitmen to get him?
I did. So we appreciate that. We've actually gotten a lot of positive reviews. And again, it means a lot to us because not only does it help us rise in the rankings and get internet traffic and find new listeners, but probably the best pure ego stroke for Jim and I to read the positive reviews and everybody, you know, loving up on us.
Yeah, and the reason you want to stroke our egos is because we continue to put out podcasts for that reason.
Yes.
You know?
We're not getting paid.
I mean, that's part of it, certainly. The more we feel that people enjoy what we're doing, the more we're going to do of it.
Sure.
So,
speaking of getting paid, we don't ask for donations, but we do try to defray the cost of hosting the website
and
paying
moonshine.
For all the band and the moonshine and the bandwidth to pump out the podcast. And we do that exclusively through our Amazon affiliate link at amazon.baldmove.com. And what that does is, again, we're not asking you to donate or buy anything you don't want. But if you are going to buy something on Amazon, please, please, please use amazon.baldmove.com. And what that does is redirects you to Amazon's homepage. Anything you buy on that session, we get a teeny tiny percentage of Amazon's cut. And it goes into our little account and it helps us keep the lights on around here and the disc spinning. So everyone that does that, again, we appreciate it very much.
Definitely. That's it for this episode. Next episode's title is Coalition. So maybe
you think
back
it's a play
to back.
On coal?
No,
coalition?
No.
Coalicious?
No.
I'm telling you, man.
I think it's
Black
back-to-back
Pike is coming
fighting.
Back. That's going to be another wild card.
Oh, God.
There's more wild cards than there are kings and jokers in this deck.
Yeah. And Ellie Mae is trying to become a queen. So.
Nicely done, Jim.
That's it for this episode. We will see you after the music for spoilers if you want those. And if not, until next time, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you in the spoilers.
And we're back with the spoiler section. Go ahead and run the promo for next week.
Well, we're going to do it.
Boys, I believe it's game on.
I'm just trying to do what I always do, clear out the competition.
I'm going to walk into a bank. I'm going to walk out with $3.2 million, in which I'm willing to give you a cut.
These two down here making some strange bedfellows, don't you think?
Funny how all that money can bring together all them wayward personalities.
Justified.
Wow.
Oh, man.
All right. A lot going on in that preview. Number one, yeah. Quarles butt naked chained to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then a gun in someone's face.
There's no way he's not going to give up the location of the gun. Right? I mean, he's stripped naked, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. They know it's there now. Unless he wasn't wearing it, but I assume he always is.
I do believe someone just got their hand cut off in this scene. And they cut it to make it look like it's Ellie Mae, which is
means
almost assuredly not Ellie Mae.
it might be Quarles.
Do we think that Limehouse's money is at a literal bank? Because they sure are showing a lot of scenes of this bank.
Yeah, and Boyd says, I'm going to walk into a bank and I'm going to walk out with $3 million. Is this a ploy by Limehouse? Is he telling them... Is he leading him on a wild goose chase?
It's definitely someone getting their hand cut off, though. So we finally get to see the meat cleaver getting used, huh?
I don't know that is someone's hand getting chopped off, man.
Boy, I wish I could get this, like, pause at the right freaking scene. You any other observations for it? Man, that does look a little ham hawkish, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it might be a ham he's cutting. He's always cutting ham.
Uh-huh.
It does look like Boyd is not going to tolerate the alliance with Dickie for very long.
Uh-huh.
We see him grab him in a headlock. I thought that was doomed from the beginning. Errol's insane.
Yeah, we also see he grabs Dewey right away.
Yeah.
But we also don't see anybody pulling Quarles' gun.
That's true. It's got to be in there, though. It's got to be in there. They probably just don't want to show it. But that's all I really have to comment on that. Do you have actual spoilers?
I have an interview with Michael T. Williamson.
Okay.
That he teases the conclusion of season 3. He says it's going to really upset some viewers.
Huh.
He says, as you watch the season unfold, you realize that Raylan has met a very formidable foe, unlike any other foe he's come up against in the past, and it makes him scratch his own head. You're also going to see Raylan in situations you've never seen him in, justifiably, haha. So, you're going to be really upset at some things you see coming down the pike. I'm telling you, Black Pike.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's coded message. He added the finale
look
feature.
For the coffee too.
will feature a big showdown scene in which all hell breaks loose. I won't even tell you who's in it, but it's a hot mess. He said things appear to go in one direction, and then someone makes a decision, and it just changes everything, and all hell breaks loose.
Nobody knows
who's left standing.
It's Johnny.
Asked if Limehouse will be returning to Justified's fourth season, Williamson replied, the way we close out this last season, which we finished a couple weeks ago, I don't know. They leave it up in the air, which is fun. It's interesting. How do they leave Limehouse's fate up in the air, do you think?
That is a damn good question.
And also, it implies you kind of think that the foe he's talking about is himself, but he doesn't really come out and say that. Mm-hmm. You don't know... It obviously can't be Boyd because he's gone against Boyd.
Yeah.
It's got to be either Limehouse or Quarles that he's talking about.
Or Johnny. I'm telling you, Johnny turns on Boyd.
Maybe.
It's a foe. It's a new foe.
We're railing in situations you've never seen him in. Interesting. Hmm. You think he kind of goes rogue? Maybe he goes rogue at the end of this season. If Ava, I'm telling
Boyd is a situation he's never been in. If Ava gets shot,
all bets are off.
Yeah, certainly.
Especially after that kiss he put on her in the bar, it shows that I think he still has some measure of feeling for her.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I am so pumped for these last two episodes.
And there's no more chess pieces being moved on the board. It's got to be balls to the wall, full throttle from here on out.
Yep. Yep.
Can't wait. This
was the final chess match.
Can't wait.
I'm super excited.
Anything else you got to say?
No, sir.
Well, this moonshine ain't going to drink itself. I need to Get the rest of this in me.
All right. Well, I won't subject the listeners to that.
Oh.
I'm going to call it a cast. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. See you then.